at one point, like, I was scared to get rid of the chickens. I acted like there was never going to be another chicken available on the planet. No, we needed a break from 60 birds. So I got rid of them for a few months, and then I found four, and it was so nice to have just four cute little chickens, you know, like back when we first started, you know, like, here's your little treats, guys, you know, stuff like that, versus here's your half a 50-pound bag of food for the day.
Hi there, friend. Welcome to the Homestead Journey Podcast. I'm Erin, and I'm absolutely thrilled that you are here. This isn't just any homesteading podcast, it's a journey we're taking together. Join me as I, along with my family and guests, share stories, educate, and lean into encouraging you in the art of homesteading. Each episode, we'll dive into the nitty-gritty of life on the farm, sharing tips, tricks, and tales to inspire and equip you on your own homesteading journey. And remember, no matter where you are on this path, you are not alone. I'm so glad you're here. I am so excited to share with you guys today, Jen from Steel Spoon Farm. My interview with her was amazing. She has goats. She's got horses. She has been doing this hobby farm for years and years now, and she has such wisdom and insight with how to set up a farm. We talk about fencing, the importance of it, gates, just kind of the whole spiel. And she also is an online income mentor for hobby farmers. So if you are like her and you don't really want to have people actively on your farm, it's not something that you really desire is interaction. She shows how to take what you know from your farming experience and apply that online. And it's just really insightful. It's the nice thing about homesteading and farming is if you want to make incomes out of doing this, there is just such a plethora of ways to do it. It's just finding the way that works for you and your family and your lifestyle. And so this is just another take on how to do that. And we just dig into all the aspects of homesteading. And there's just so much wisdom to be gained in this episode. And I just encourage you guys to grab a cup of coffee, dig in, and let's enjoy our chat with Jen. And if you stay tuned to the end of this episode, I will be giving you the discount that you can get for her course, which is 20% off. It's such a kind gesture for my followers. So let's get to it. Okay, you guys, welcome back to the podcast. We have Jen with me today, and I found Jen on Instagram, I don't know, several years ago now, I feel like. It's been a while, and she has her own homestead. She has the goats. They're amazing. And so I kind of want to get in with her. First, I'll pretend like I don't know, and we'll just have you introduce yourself and kind of start from there since everybody doesn't know your story. So go ahead and just, who are you and a little bit about you.
Hi guys. So I'm Jen. We're like first generation farmers, I would say. I've always had horses, but we didn't feel like official until we got the Angora goats in 2020. I've been on this property since 2005. My family moved here, and then me and my husband bought it in 2018. And that's when we did all the fence, got all the birds. We got the goats then a couple years later. Giant Gardens kind of have done a little bit of everything. And we're at the point now where we're actually kind of in the maintenance years of the farm, which is a really nice place to finally be at after so many years of so much growth and so many changes. So we're riding it out now. It's so nice.
That is super nice. Yes, we're still in the trenches of doing it. And so it's so nice to be able, but it's nice to see some of you guys that are there. And I'm like, okay, they did it. It's possible. I can get there. Yes, fences are the big deal. We have, I cannot wait. I mean, we are trying to enjoy the process, but some days, as you know, it is extremely hard. So to do the homestead, why did you decide to go this route? Like, why were you like, okay, I'm going to purchase this property in 2018 and we're going to try to make it with this? Like, what drew you to this lifestyle?
This property in particular, just because I've been here, I grew up here. I knew everything that's been done to the property. I know that it's been organic for as long as we've been here. So, I know everything that's been done to the house and the land, and my horses were already here, so I didn't have to move them. So it was, that was the main draw, because we were looking at land and possibly going to build our own thing and start from scratch in that year. And we had our first house together, just a little starter house, and we had like the perfect backyard homestead. It was just a half acre, but we had beautiful gardens back there and landscaping and got our first chickens there and had a really nice small scale little backyard homestead. And then we moved here and made everything bigger. but it's the layout of the property. It's a hideaway property. So we have two entrances in, but no road frontage. So it's really private. It's just beautiful out here. We love it here. So that was the biggest draw for choosing this property for sure.
That's amazing. And I love how you said, I feel like most people who I've talked to who are homesteading on a larger scale, they have started with something like a half an acre. I mean, our last house was also a half an acre and we were in town, like we were in a neighborhood, but we still had the chickens and still had the gardens. And I think that's such a great like test to see if you really want to do it is if you can maintain something at that scale and you find joy in it instead of just like saying, okay, I've never done gardening before, but let's move out to 20 acres or whatever and start doing it. Like that's such a great, and I think people get, they almost get ahead of themselves and they want all of this, but I think you should sit a few years in that other place just to make sure it's something you want to do. Just even like, cause I'm trying to get a dairy cow this year, but I've been getting raw milk for 2 years and I've made all the things with it. And so you're kind of proving to yourself that you can do these things before you actually go all in financially as well. And do it larger scale. So I love that. So you said that before you were kind of like the beginning and you're putting all the fences in and everything, and now you're kind of maintenance stage. So what does your farm look like on a maintenance? Like what kind of animals do you have? Are you happy and content with them? Why do you have the animals, the goats that you have? We were on the fence. We're still on the fence about getting goats because I've heard that they're crazy, but maybe that's not all of them. So fill us in.
They're not. So when we first got here, we just had the horses. We didn't, when we brought our first chickens with us. And so we made a quick chicken coop in like the feed room of the old barn. I mean, that's actually still the coop that I'm using now because our joke is that I've built, or my husband has built like 7 different coops now. And I want like the final coop. And he's like, this is going to be the final coop. So they're in there again. So we got the chickens. Then we got turkeys. And thought, okay, I'll raise some Thanksgiving turkeys. We had bourbon reds. They were really cool. Got rid of those. We had quail for a minute. We had guineas. I am not on Team Guinea. I know you're on Team Guinea.
But do you have ticks up there like we have here?
You do have ticks?
I
want to like them. I really want to like them. But the noise, I can't. Do it. I can't. And the day after we got rid of them, and then I could hear the birds singing again. I'm like, okay, this was a good move. So like, do your research, plague in
yes.
loop before you get them. But we're like, we have our yard bait, like our main yard fenced in, and then all the pastures and everything on the outside. So like the main yard in the middle where the dogs and we are, we keep the grass short and mowed. So it's not always an issue.
You have more of a barrier.
Yeah. So, and then nobody goes out in the woods really, unless we're going out, and then we suit up for it. So
yeah,
I wanted to like the guineas for that, but I couldn't do it. So we had them. And then 2020. So I had taught myself to crochet in 2019, the end of 2019, so that I could join my friends and make a temperature blanket in 2020. Never crocheted a stitch in my life. And I taught myself how to crochet, and then I made this giant temperature blanket in 2020, and it ended up being 2 blankets because it was so huge. And so once you start on that like rabbit hole of fiber arts of crochet, then I want to learn how to spin my own yarn. Then I need to get my own fiber animals. And so that's where the goats came in. Then in 2020, I got an opportunity. A fiber artist that I followed for years, friend of mine, was downsizing her herd. And I was like, okay, maybe goats are it. And so we drove up there and was supposed to get 3 and got 4 because one was the baby of the other one. And so then I was going to wait to breed them, but then I'm like doing goat math, and that was going to be more like 2 years out by the time you wait for breeding and everything. So then we got the buck and the weather, and then all 3 of the does that we bred that first year all had twins.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they usually have singles because they have so much energy output with the mohair as it is. And so they all had twins. And then we did that again the year later. And so now we have 26 goats.
Oh my gosh, that escalated quickly.
Yeah. Yes. And in there too, we had gotten, I did get two Nigerian dwarf does that were bred because I had already had these babies and I'm like, okay, well maybe we can make that cross, the Nigora cross, where you use a dairy breed, a Nigerian dwarf preferably, on an Angora doe. And so I was like, well, let's get some dairy goats here while we're at it. So we bought them and then they had babies. And then I was milking the one for 18 months. I did extended milking with her. And it was only like a pint a day at the end there. And the only reason why I dried her off was because I was very pregnant and I couldn't get on the milk stand anymore. So we had the dairy goats brought in. And now we're on the downside of it. We weathered everybody. There's no more bucks, no more stinky rut. And so everybody's out in one herd together. But the goats are probably our favorite animal. Like, so like you say, you're still on the fence about goats. That's okay. But if you get them, you will adore them. They'll be your new favorite thing. I love their personalities and everything. What they do for our property. They've been fantastic animals to have here.
People have said so many times, like when I've told them about our forest and everything that we have, everyone's always like, get goats, they're great for clearing out the forest and maintaining things. And yes, with the kids, my son, he's already like, the goats that we don't have, they already have names. He's just like, sure, and he wants to put them in 4-H, so we probably eventually will get them. But okay, so my reservation then is fencing and that kind of stuff. So to anyone who hasn't had goats but is like concerned or wants to have them but has questions, like what would you say you need to have like a small herd, if you like, as far as like acreage for grazing and that kind of stuff, like just the quick beginner's guide to having goats, what would you say?
The fencing makes or breaks you with the goats for sure. Now the Angoras that we have, they're really easy on fence. I know like some of the meat breeds and some of the larger dairy breeds can be harder on fence, but if they find a gap, they will push that forever. So if the fence is weak at all or anything, they're going to leverage it. We have for the goat pasture specifically, we have high tensile, no climb fence everywhere. We pulled it tight with the truck. This was before we had our tractor. So it is tensioned really tight. And we did wood posts for the corners and with the H braces. And then we did just metal T posts on the straight lines. We love our super straight fence lines. We're like super picky on fencing. So we have really nice fence and I'm really proud of it. And it's a lot of work and a lot of expense up front, but it definitely pays off later because there's no maintenance on it or very little. And your animals aren't getting out every day. So we have no climb. We have cattle panels in a few areas, like on our woods line. The only thing I would change about that is I would swap those to sheep panels instead, which have the smaller 4x4 inch holes. Cause when our goats were younger, now that they're all past a year old, their horns are big enough. They can't poke through, but before they would push through, and then their horns would hook on the way out. And so then you've got somebody yelling in the field and I got to go push them back through the fence. So that's the only change I would make there is just change those cattle panels to sheep panels. But we have ours are dry lotted at nighttime. They come in, they get locked in a dry lot area up by the barn and they can come in and out of the barn. I hate locking them in the barn just for safety reasons and everything. So they can come in and out as they want. And then there's just a gravel dry lot area with some welded wire fence attached to round pen panels. Works fine. Like if you have bigger livestock and anything else, because we had that from the horses, but the welded wire is too thin. And our boys, it was like the movie Roadhouse was the buck pen and they wrecked the welded wire fence. It's just not a strong enough gauge as they climb. So they would just rub their horns on it and just like rip holes in the whole thing. So they're better now that they have more buddies to pick on. But that works for like our dry lot area, or then we've mounted the sheet panels directly to the round pen fence too. So that fences that off and then they go in the pasture during the daytime and then come in at night. So that's worked really well.
See, I love that. And honestly, like I was talking to my husband too about making a fence for the goats. And I was like, if we can make the fence good enough for goats, like honestly, we could probably have any other animal in there and it would be fine. So, and yes. I remember following your fencing journey and I was just like, these fences are so pretty. So the good fence definitely cannot be like overstated. It's so worth the time and effort because like you said, any kind of animal, especially those, they're going to find the weak spots and they're just going to go after them over and over and over. And so it is a big expense, but it's worth it. And you have to, like, you have to have good fences if you're going to have a farm. And so you say you bring them in. I kind of like that because I was saying the same thing. What kind of is there predators for them that you are concerned about? Or is it just, yeah.
So the way our property is set up, knock on wood, when I always talk about this, knock on wood, we do have predators here. We hear the coyotes in like the behind the neighbor's field and stuff. And every time the train comes by, they chase the train and they howl at the train. So I know they're there. But the way our property is, we hardly even have deer through our property, honestly, because there's like a little neighborhood on our north side. And then the backside is super private and wooded and goes more into the country. But we're not really like a traffic zone for the predators. If anything, they come through the very back corner. And so, and of course, I have the Pyrenees, which they're not actually out with the goats. Just because of the timing that we got the goats and we got the first puppy. We got the first puppy, Otis, 3 days before we had our first goats due with babies. And so I was not about to stress out mama goats with brand new babies while trying to train a puppy. So he got bonded to our house dogs, which was fine. But now he thinks that I'm his job, which is fine because I am the most important thing on the property, right? Like
yeah.
The house and like the family. So, and then when we got the other one, he's been out with the goats a bit and he's fine. He can live outside by himself. Like he's been outside by himself. And then it was really cold this winter and I brought him in at night for a couple times. So now he's back with the house pack. but they're outside but it's a livestock guardian dog can do whatever you want it to do. And, you know, like I said, protecting me and the baby and my family in the house, that's their job. Like the goats come into the barn. We set them up for success to be safe close up to the barn. We've got the big security light on the barn. So it's lit up at night and they're not anywhere like even on the fringe of the woods and stuff. Mine are kind of weenies though. I'm not sure they would even be out in the pasture at nighttime. I don't know if that's an Angora thing because where we got them, they were out on pasture. They were pasture raised and not locked in a dry lot or anything. So mine just got used to coming and sleeping in the barn and like there's no fuss about bringing them in at night. They come right in. And then they hang out. And so I'm not sure they would like be out that deep in the woods anyway. But I feel better having everybody close to home at night.
Yeah. I am the same way.
Yeah. I like having the dry lot at night too. And then like, if it's raining or like right now they're off pasture because I'm just waiting on the grass to grow up. So like I'll let them out in the lane in between pastures sometimes just to get them out of the barn and throw hay in the ground instead of in the barn. But yeah, I'm resting the pasture. So it's nice to have the extra areas to move them around through too. And I don't even know how many gates we have on this property. That's another thing with fencing, put gates everywhere and put them in the corners or like at the T of a fence, because if you have to just like the tornadoes through Ohio, if you have to just open pastures and everything, they're going to follow a fence line. And then it's easier to herd animals down that way too, instead of like hoping that they find a gate on an open, just a long stretch of fence. Like the horses have gotten out before and you just, okay, you shoo them that way and like herd them down along the fence line. And then they find the open gate and they go right back in the pasture. It takes 5 minutes. So like, that's another thing with the fencing too, is have gates everywhere, make your dry lots all connect. I can move horses, ponies, goats. I can just do merry-go-round between pens with all the fencing that we have set up. And it's so easy. Like anybody can do it. I could have anybody watch these animals and just tell them which gates to open.
See, and that's so amazing. And I think that's another thing to just kind of ask someone who is further on their journey and who has been with large animals longer, because you might think, oh, a gate is so pretty right here. We're going to set it in the middle of these two posts in the center of the pasture. But then you're right. When animals go someplace, they go to the corner. And so if you don't have something set up in the corner, oh, what a pain in the butt to try to be like, no, come this way. And then they run that way. And it's just like this whole ping pong of animals that won't go through the gate. So that's super, super smart. And so
the last time the horses got out, my husband was driving the tractor through and he thought they would stay at the feeder and they didn't. And of course the tractor, he goes to get off and, you know, you got to put it in park and all these things or it shuts off. And so he goes to get off and shut the gate and the backhoe was literally 2 inches shy of clearing the gate. And so the gate wouldn't shut behind him. And so the horses are gone and whatever, but we've got everything fenced off so much now. Like it doesn't even matter. Like I was down at the neighbor's house and I look out the window and I go, that's not supposed to be in the yard as the horse goes running by the house. I'm like, oh, well, whatever. She's not going anywhere. You know, like, so I'm going to hammer the fence, but like fencing, if you're starting a farm, fencing.
Yes, I know. And it was funny because I was talking to my husband and we were talking about the layout of fences. And so he grew up, he's a city boy, and I did grow up on the country. And so we've had different things throughout, just like so many different things. But I was like, and I want a gate here and I want to get here and I want to get here and I want to get here. And he was like, can't we just have like one or two? And I was like, no, I said, you don't understand. It's going to be so much easier to be able to have access. If you never use a gate, that's fine. But I guarantee you, if it's there, you're going to use it. And I love how you said to the barriers, because the more, honestly, the more fencing you have, the better, because then you do have, if this gate is open, then you have pasture number two, who hopefully the gate is shut over there. And like you're further out, but I mean, again, with the woods and stuff, and we are right next to a road. And so it's imperative that we have a few lines of protection so that they don't get out there and get hit by a car or something, you know, horrible happen to them. And then I would just feel completely awful. So if you were to start with like 3 or 4 goats, you were talking about pasture and stuff, what, like for grazing, how many acres would you recommend for someone who's considering having goats?
It depends on the land really, because so goats actually prefer brush. Goats are browsers, not grazers. So if you have just plain flat grass, sheep might actually be the better option because they are grazers. They'll eat more just plain grass. We have kind of a mix of both. The one pen, we kind of call it the buck pen, even though the bucks never actually lived out there. They came up to the dry lot. The whole hill, we have an old electric trolley path through our property. And so the whole hillside of that is like really rocky and just kind of like old road base. So nothing really grows on it except just scrubby brush. The 4 goats that we first started out with when we had that fenced off, they cleared this whole hillside in a week.
Wow.
All this brush that we had fought with for years, you know, like just trying to keep this brush down. And my husband's like, we can get a few more of these. So I was like, oh, really? Let me go get them then. So then we got the bucks and now we have so many.
You're like, no take backsies. Like,
yeah, no take backs. But now, like even in the winter, they will eat poison ivy vines. Like they were chewing on a dried up dead poison ivy vine in the woods. And I'm like, that's tasty. But like they'll clear out poison ivy, they clear out multiflora rose, the blackberry brambles, like the privet we have everywhere. They just level that. Ours do eat grass. They eat plenty of grass. And I'm letting the grass grow up now too, like I said, just to get a head start on spring and stuff. But I would say like for the 3 or 4, we honestly don't even have that much like fenced pasture for the goats. I'd say it's only like 1.5 acres.
Wow. Okay.
But it's between 3 pastures. So in the springtime, like I call it my, like the top pasture, because it's completely fenced with the no climb. So that's where I would put the babies at first, because there was nowhere for them to get out. That one stays the driest. So they go out there first in the spring. And then I close off the middle that has a little creek that runs through it. And then once they've had a few weeks on that one, then I close that off, move them to the middle. And then after they've had a few weeks there, I move them up to the corner of the buck pen. So I'm always rotating pastures too. And if you're really good about that, then you can get away with a lot less land versus just fencing the whole square off and letting them rip, because they're going to pick what the, even goats that are not picky, they are, they're going to go pick the things that taste the best. and eat that, and then everything else is going to get overgrown. So if you can fence off, do your perimeter fence and then section it off, at least three sections, you can keep rotating every couple of weeks, and that keeps your growth better. It's amazing how nice those pastures look now after having just the goats on. It's too wet over there for the horses with their big feet. But these pastures now are beautiful. There's no weeds. There's the brush is controlled in the woods. And it's like an acre and a half now. And I have a lot of goats on that. All 26 are rotated between that now. So,
wow. Okay. You're convincing me.
Yeah. And some people, I mean, they completely dry lot the goats too. I don't like that because they're designed to eat long stem forage and brush. So if you can get them out in the woods and you've got plenty, and they'll clear out all of that brush for you and clear out the understory and everything and make it beautiful again and get rid of the brush. So you've got plenty, get them out there. You can do a lot with a little bit of land. Yeah. But if you have a dry lot area too, as a sacrificial area, we've had one for the horses for years, and we don't have much. We only have 8 acres.
And okay.
We've got three horses. Yeah. But we only honestly use maybe 4 of it. We have a lot of it is swamp in the back corner. There's one section that's completely swamp and like pond that we don't use at all. So like usable land is only about 4 acres, and we rotate the horses through and the goats and everything. So if you do it right and you have the dry lot area and the right fencing, then you can do a lot with a small property, but it's a lot of infrastructure to get set up that way.
But that's very encouraging, because I think a lot of times people feel like they need to purchase a ton of land to be able to have large animals. And the more I talk to people, the more that's just honestly not true. And we have a lot of land that it wasn't intentional for us to buy it, but we, so far, even with the pigs that we had and everything, I mean, we've utilized probably like 2 acres. I mean, it has not been much, and we have a lot going on. So you don't need a ton. And that's so nice to know about the goats and stuff too, because my husband is always thinking like, oh, these animals, they need acres and acres. I'm going to have to fence off 3 acres and then 3 acres over here and rotate. And it's so encouraging to have someone like you who's been doing it forever be like, that's totally unnecessary. This is enough, you know?
Yeah.
I love that.
And we talked before too, where like, it would be, you know, great to have more land and stuff, but we only have this much. And there's still some parts of the property that like, I barely get out there once a month to see and stuff. So I can't imagine like having 120 acres and it's all woods, you know, out there. Like I would rather have the smaller property and be able to touch every corner of it and have it manicured. Like we're at the point now, even with the landscaping, where all the perennials have grown in. So there's like no weeding anymore. It's so nice. You will get there. I promise. You will get there. But like the whole front flower bed that we put in, like it all grows in nice. Like I weed it maybe twice a year, just like pick through. So like, I would rather have a small hobby farm property like that, where everything's pretty and it's country life and relaxing and peaceful. And it's our safe haven here versus having 40 acres of field that I, you know, have to move cattle on, something like that.
Yeah.
So, and even with your woods too, you can still move cattle through the woods. Do silvo pasture. You can clear out some of the understory. You can get grass growing all through there. So you don't have to have this big open chunk of grass for cows or the larger livestock. They can have trees, and they want trees. They want the shade.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Yes. I just honestly like what you've said, how they clear that side of the hill so fast is just so encouraging. So it's just more umph to get the fencing done so that we can start doing this and move those in there. And I just love too how I think a lot of people get so overwhelmed. Like they want to start the homestead journey, but they're honestly afraid that like it's going to be too much. And being able to say a couple acres, you can have the goats, you can do these animals, so that there's not so much reservation and it's not such a big, honestly, financial burden too. And speaking of financial, so most of the people that come on here, we're homesteading, but we're also doing business on the side of homesteading. And you are doing that too. And I love, because most of the people, their business does kind of go in with the homestead, which is so beautiful, because then you can have two things that work together and they're both something that you're very passionate about. And so I know that you're launching a course and it has to do with kind of homesteading and getting some finances going from the homestead, but in a different way than just like with selling animals or doing anything like that. So explain to people how that all works.
So we have a hobby farm and it's a hideaway farm. We have no road frontage for a farm stand. I have a baby. I don't have time to sit at a farmer's market all day, every Saturday. At this point, I don't have time to work to make all kinds of stuff for Etsy anymore either. I still sell my mohair and whatnot raw. Now I don't even process it. I sell it straight off the goat raw on Etsy. But I want something to help cover the feed bill. If nothing else, I want it to just cover the feed bill so that our animals and our lifestyle covers itself. And so I've had, you know, I'm marketing my farm platform anyway for the mohair. And so how to add a little bit extra oomph to that to take advantage of the online platform and make money online without more overhead, without too much more time, and stuff that can just passively add to the bottom line without a ton of hands-on time from me. Because I like taking care of the animals. That's my goal, but I don't want to be making all the products with them and all that stuff. I just want to care for the animals and then everything beyond the back end. So the course that I put together, this comes from 10 some years of being in web design and blogging and social media and affiliate marketing. And it explains all of those things, which are a complete foreign language to most people. It explains all of those things in an easy to break down way. There's an ebook, and then there's a extremely thorough workbook that takes you through every type of online income I explain. And it helps break it down and get you in the right mindset of what's going to work best for your skill set, for your preferences, for your farm, and how to do that in a way that blends nicely with your farm, that it makes sense to the customers you already have. So that you can have like, for example, a digital product. So mine is my course. And that's helping the audience that I have of my other farmer, my fiber farmer friends, my homesteader friends, that's helping them do what I've done with my platform and the platform that they already have. And in a way that feels good and works with their brand. It's not like I went on a tangent on my social media the other day about these resale courses that have come out where you buy a course to learn how to sell the course to other people to sell the course. This, not this at all. This is learning how to do something that is yours. And it does take time. Like these digital products, it's hard. It's a lot of work. It's taken me a couple of weeks to work on just this course now. So it's not easy. And you know, you've been in the online space for a decade. I think that's where yeah. That was like a decade ago. It's been a minute. So you know what it is. But with the blogging and the affiliate marketing, like you can get commissions on the feed products that you use and the tack and equipment and even the tractors. Like we have a Coyote tractor and they have an Instagram page. So there's stuff you can do that way. You can make your own products, even into like direct sales. There's some direct sales companies that might align with your own values and be a perfect fit for the farm customers that you already have. But it's a way to add some income without being at the farmer's market. I like shopping at them. I don't want to sit there all day. I have a little baby that I don't want to sit there all day with.
That's so true.
Making products for Etsy.
Yeah. And I just want to touch real quick. So I think a lot of people align with that because they are homesteading for a more, like they don't want all the people here. They moved here rural for a purpose. They don't want people on their farm. They want to do this strictly for themselves, but they also would benefit from finances, you know, some financial assistance from something else. And so just like you said, I mean, you're not selling. I'm with you on the people who make these courses that show you how to sell these courses when you're like, but where's your experience doing this thing that you're trying to teach me? Right. Whereas someone like you has all these years. And just like you're talking about fencing, I mean, people need that kind of information. And so even though to you, it seems so common sense, to someone who's just stepping in, this is such a help to them so that they don't make the wrong mistakes or spend thousands of dollars on fencing that they're going to have to fix because I'm just using fencing as an example because you've done that work for them and you're here to share your wisdom. It's so important.
Right. So yeah, there's an ebook that explains everything. There's a workbook that takes you through. I outline basically the five main types of online income and the workbook takes you through kind of the thought process of how to figure out which one of those is going to work for you and is going to be the best fit for your farm brand, and then how to actually implement that. And then there's also a Facebook group going along with it too, so you can get ongoing support. And there's no monthly membership fee. It's a one-time buy the course. You get all of the content right away, so it's at your own pace. And then you have me and everybody else in the course to get ongoing support from as you're figuring out what to even do, and then how to do it, and then how to market it, you know, in the future past that, and then how to make your next stream, because you always, you want to be adding multiple streams. And once you get, once you figure it out and you get in that mindset, it's easy to add the next one, and then just to keep diversifying. And it all works with your farm brand. That's the biggest thing here, is this is customized to you and exactly your audience and the people that you already have following you and following what you're doing on your property as it is. So it feels good. That's what I want to emphasize, is it's online marketing should never be slimy. And that's how I feel every time I see those other courses. I'm like, stop.
Yeah.
Please. I went on a whole rant the other day on, it's highlighted on my stories forever. Because I've seen enough of it. And then I finally saw one account sell out, and it made me real mad. So I started talking. But this is customized for you, and you're doing it yourself. I will teach you how, but you got to do it, and set it up. And then you've got the support there. So,
yeah. And I love the Facebook group and things like that, because I think a lot of people, they can be overwhelmed with just the homesteading in general, but then they're like, well, what can I do? Whereas when you just put yourself out there and you get this book, that gets the juices flowing, that gets ideas that you might not have even realized, again, that you have out there. And then being able to talk to other people in a Facebook group, being able to just kind of bounce back and forth. I've been in other groups like that too, where it's just so insightful to hear other people's experiences and then be able to kind of tailor your own off of that. And so that's just such a great resource. I was scrolling through right before we talked, like everything that your course offers, and it is absolutely amazing. It's very in depth. It's really cool. So I will have this. So by the time this goes out, the course will be official live to everyone. And so we will have the link in the bottom of all the, wherever you hear this at, just look in the subject line or below that, and we'll have everything in there. And I cannot wait to see and hear, because I know I'm just going to hear tons of people coming out of this course with just such good information, and excited to do this. So I'm excited for you. And so with this course, so you have this right now, do you have other courses that you're thinking about as well? Well, you're going to start with this one and just kind of go from there.
We're starting here and then going from there. It's already, just making this one has already gave me ideas for like 15 other things that I need to do. But what I'm going to mainly focus on though, is just at like seeing, making sure that I can just add those to this course. So it will end up, it will keep evolving, and you get, all of the updates to it too. So whenever you sign up for the course, if there's new updates after you sign up, you get all of those automatically. You get access to them. So I'm just going to keep adding new modules and new information. Cause like every other day, Instagram changes, every other day, the apps change, there's a new one. And then this one goes away. And like now TikTok is even maybe going to get banned. So I don't even talk about TikTok, cause I can't stand TikTok. So come over to Instagram where it's more fun. But yeah, so there's constant changes with everything online, and making sure you stay compliant and all those things.
Yeah.
So it has to be an evolving kind of thing. And that's why the Facebook group's good too, because then I can just quickly say, hey, mini chat's down today, or hey, this is going on, before I have time to like make it a module in the course. So that's a nice way to just be able to quickly get the information out to everybody too. And I just, once you're in there, I want to be able to help you more, you know, like I don't want to do this. Oh, well, you didn't pay your monthly membership fee, so I can't, you can't message you back. No, like get in the group. Once you're in there, you're in. And then everybody can help. And like you said, bounce ideas back and forth. I do that all the time. Like I'll see something and then it'll just ping my brain and go, oh, I could do this, in, you know, this kind of thing with that. Like, that's a great idea. And I could angle it this way for my farm, like all kinds of stuff like that. So it's a really nice brain to be in.
And so for this course, it's mostly based around farm stuff, but if someone had like a flower farm or maybe an urban farm, like it could apply to any of those, correct? Okay, great.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Okay. So I love this. I love what you're doing. And I just love that I mean, I've had several of those courses that I've purchased over the years, and they were around the same price point and everything. And it's just always so nice when you get an email that says, oh, I updated this, or, oh, I updated this, because I'm like, oh, yay. Like, I get to consume more content and information that I already paid for. And it's so nice because you do, you stay up to date on everything and that kind of stuff. Like, in this world where there's so much thrown at you at all times, if I can pay someone one time to just like send this stuff to my inbox and help me out, it is so worth the money, like a million times over. So, okay. So where can everyone find you, follow you? Where are you at? How do you want people to connect with you?
So we're Steel Spoon Farm everywhere. So Instagram is Steel Spoon Farm, Facebook Steel Spoon Farm, and then steelspoonfarm.com. And then all of the course links, everything's linked on my social media pages. And on my website now as well too. And Pinterest. I pop around on Pinterest so you can see all the latest projects that I'm planning.
There you go.
Farm on there, but that's Steel Spoon Farm as well.
Wonderful. Okay. And just the last thing, if you could just give a piece of encouraging advice to someone who is either looking to start a business or looking to kind of put their foot in homesteading, what would you say?
Start small. You don't have to do everything all at once. There, I feel like every spring, for example, like chicken math, everybody's bringing home brand new chicks. We had 60 at one point. Wow. You don't probably need 60 chickens. and then we downsized them, and then we had zero chickens because, like, whatever the meme was I saw recently, it's like the first 2 years are the growth period, like the honeymoon phase. And then the next two are like the, what did we do phase? And then the next two after that are like the, we got to get out of this phase. You don't want to get to that last step. Hmm. And that happens because people start too fast and they need all the things. And you don't know what you like either until you try it. So don't be afraid to try, but slow down. So that's something that I've definitely learned too, is I'm quicker to say no now. But I also have more experience behind me now, like what animals work for us and what animals don't work for us. Mm-hmm. What kind of gardening I like to do, what kind of time do I want to have into this, and what do I actually enjoy the most out of it? Like I said earlier, I enjoy the most is actually caring for the animals. And I've been kind of out of that scene a little bit this year because I've got a brand new baby that'll be a year old. So my husband's been taking on a lot of like the daily animal chores, which is not his fun part. I watched your episode with your husband, and he's the infrastructure guy, right?
Like, yes.
He'll build the things for all the animals. If I want to bring a camel home, he will build the fence for it. But like, he doesn't necessarily want to do the daily care. Mm-hmm. But he has been, so that I could focus on our baby. Like, he knows how to trim goat hooves now and like catch them. He knows all of them by name. They all have names. So like, he's done that, but that's not his thing. So it's nice to now be shifting back towards like, okay, mom gets to take care of her animals now because I miss them. Like, I miss that daily interaction. And now I got a little buddy to help me with it too. So like, know which part of it you like the best and be realistic. Don't like go into debt over blowing up this giant. And you can always add later. You can always take away. At one point, like, I was scared to get rid of the chickens. I acted like there was never going to be another chicken available on the planet. We needed a break from 60 birds. So I got rid of them for a few months, and then I found four. And it was so nice to have just four cute little chickens, you know, like back when we first started, you know, like, here's your little treats, guys, you know. Stuff like that versus here's your half a 50-pound bag of food for the day.
Seriously.
Like, you can always backtrack. You can always start new. It's okay. I always preach, like, have an abundance mindset. Don't have a lack mindset where if I don't do it now, I'm not going to get it. And, mm-hmm. and if I get rid of this, then I'm never going to get it again. Don't live like that. Just be abundant. Everything with an open hand. Just keep the door open. Keep your options open. And know what you want and put it out there, but and just be receptive to it. So,
I love that. And isn't it funny? It's crazy the mind games we play with ourselves, like the getting rid of the chickens and you're never going to have any back, or like the rush. I think a lot of times we're just like, well, we got here and we have to get all these things. But you're right, like going into debt over it. It's, you don't want to feel the guilt associated with going too fast for something. It's better to feel the anticipation and excitement knowing that you're working up to something versus that. And I would say too, if all of us at farm or garden or whatever, like, we love to talk about it. Like, we're excited about it. We do it for a reason. So reach out to people who have those things and say, hey, can I just chat with you? Can I grab you coffee? Can we meet up or talk about something? Because most of the time, we're pretty much willing to talk your ear off about it. And then you can really get a scope of if that's something that you want to do. So I love that.
Yep.
Okay, Jen, it was so fun. Oh, keep going.
Oh, I was going to say, I went and I talked to, before we got the goats, there's, I bought some wool to spin from a lady just right down the road from us that has sheep, just Shetland sheep. And they're cute. I like Shetland sheep, but I was like, this isn't for us. I want goats. Because so like that, like instead of ending up with all these sheep that weren't quite the right fit, I have my goats now because I went and I talked to somebody that had them. So keep your network, know your people. Yeah. I've had a couple people come to the farm that were interested in fiber goats. And most of them were actually shocked. They're kind of small because they're used to like the big full size dairy goats and stuff. And the Angoras are they're medium sized. They're not quite super small like the Nigerians, but they're medium sized. So like actually go see them and get out there and ask the questions first and use other people's experience before you end up completely over your head on stuff.
Yes, that's such good advice. Okay, you guys, make sure to follow Jen. She is really fun on Instagram. I love all her reels she's been posting lately, and she shows all of her stuff on all of her cute little goats and the horses and everything she's got going on there. So definitely use her as a resource. She's very valuable in the homestead community, and I cannot wait to see how many people your course helps. So thank you so much for being on, and we'll talk to all you guys later. Bye. As promised, I wanted to give you guys the coupon code for the discount, the 20% off on Jen's course. The coupon code is going to be ERYN20, that's ERYN20. And the link to the code and all of her social and everything is in the description of wherever you are finding this podcast.